This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Yeah, baby. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation live in surprise spring training. Our coverage brought to you by ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960. And it's brought to you by the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. So we got treated by a Rangers 8-0 victory over the Mariners this afternoon. Wolcott went yard. Berger went yard. Mally was just dealing. And we'll have more coming up in an hour as we go around the bases. It's time now for an edition of Football's Finest. As the Combine rages on, here's your chief.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Okay, so we had Sean Sharif on earlier. I did see him tweet after the shoddy Combine. The Cowboys will be celebrating Zach Martin with an event next Wednesday.
Let's go.
So not sure exactly what that's going to look like. Is that a press conference?
Yeah,
deal?
it's like the thing with Jason. Remember Jason with
the employees.
Everybody claps and he walks in.
Yeah. It's time to do a one-day deal.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
That whole song and dance.
Yep.
Apologize to him formally for not doing enough to help him achieve greatness as a Super Bowl champion, even though he's got the eye of the tiger and the heart of a champion.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say.
Love you, Zach.
Would like to see
the fight.
That. Yeah, absolutely. I think Walchuk mentioned earlier, but the Chiefs did franchise tag Trey Smith, and so their stud guard.
$24 million, huh?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. I wonder if they're going to... I mean, it's a lot of money to just have slapped on your salary cap for 1 year because you can't spread it out.
Nope.
So I wonder if this is just a holding...
Trying to get a long-term deal out of that. Just buys you some time. Yep.
And then we also had the Travis Kelce. We've talked about it. It looked like he was coming back. He apparently texted Pat McAfee today and said, "I'm coming back for sure. I'm going to get in the best shape of my life this offseason." He says he's got a real bad taste in his mouth, how he played in that last game, and he can't go out like that. So
I just hope he can do something about it. I don't think he can. I think the Chiefs are making a big mistake letting him come back. I totally get that. Nobody wants to go out like that. But that's what happens.
He had a great opportunity, not this year, but last year, to go out. And he should have taken that avenue.
Shoot, I mean, if a team's willing to give you $15 million to be a pretty good tight end still. But he doesn't have to worry about it now. Just go ahead and marry that billionaire rock star lady and you're good.
That's jet fuel for her. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, yeah, it's to me, you don't always get to go out how you should go out. You know, and like I say, that's if he's going to come back, and what if it, you know, what if the level is not as good? We saw him really not play great the whole season. Did some things in the playoffs, but you know, there's no guarantee now. You know, those teams in the AFC are getting better.
I think them kind of having it on easy mode when it came to the last 2 years, right up until they play the Eagles, maybe lulled them into a false belief that this was just kind of what we do. These teams can't mess with us.
Yeah.
And in the other conference, a juggernaut was being assembled that they could. And now they want to, you know, have their chance at revenge if the Eagles make it back.
Kelce's going to the wheels fall off. Even though it really felt like you could see the wheels falling off in the Super Bowl, like there was just all four of his wheels were
the
just
big funk.
Some of the big plays, the big negative plays of Kansas City, he was involved in.
Yeah, he was. Some of the big plays that were positive for the Eagles, of course, were courtesy of A.J. Brown. We remember when he busted out the self-help book in the middle of a game on the sidelines. He is now capitalizing on that, the businessman that he is. He has merch and T-shirts that read A.J. Brown Book Club on it. And he's sitting at Lincoln Financial Field on a bunch of books, and he's reading one. So
interesting guy, man. The more I learn about A.J. Brown, the more I want to learn more.
He was drafted. Did you know that he was drafted as a high school, like a baseball player with the Padres?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, drafted, I saw that clip today.
Yeah. He was drafted. He was like talking about how like he may had to make a determination of whether to play baseball or play football. And then he was talking about a showcase game he played in Chicago. Dude came out throwing 97. He said, man, I don't know about this.
I can't hit that.
No. Stick with football.
Stick with football.
Yeah, he'd been tearing up regular high school pitchers, 85, 88. He goes to this national all-star game with some of the top prospects, and the guy's throwing a 90-mile-an-hour breaking ball, a 97-mile-an-hour fastball. He's like, I'm going to go catch the football.
Yeah. That's a different world right there. But multi-sport athlete, that is pretty dang cool. If I was an Eagles fan, I mean, the shirt looks pretty cool. Don't get me wrong. If I was an Eagles fan, I think I'd probably be all over that.
Yeah.
Still soaking in the championship glory, but I'm not an Eagles
fan. Is it like a cartoon? Is it just a picture? Is it a cartoon look of him or I was hoping it wasn't like some, like, you know, there's like too much plastic sometimes on a shirt, you know, with a lot of have you ever got a shirt that has too much plastic on it?
It's uncomfortable.
You know, you can't wear that.
It's not good for the environment either.
No.
Now how about some of the rumors going around the combine? I saw Benjamin Albright say that as each day ticks on, I move more and more toward Stafford leaving the Rams for the Raiders.
I don't know if you're Matthew Stafford, if that sounds like fun at all. I mean, this is a horrible organization in the Raiders.
But Brady's getting that thing in gear. You have Pete Carroll. He's an adult in the room at head coach. Chip Kelly, now the offensive coordinator. Throw to Brock Bowers.
You're right. They might have finally got the formula. We get to go hang out in Vegas. I like it. We're close to DFW.
You get to play in the same division as
Okay,
Mahomes.
I'm sold.
And they're going to give you the fatty, fatty boomba.
I guess that's what it really comes down to, right? We got to make sure that I at least have a couple of years at this $50 million, you know, party time that these quarterbacks are having.
Why do I have a feeling this Tom Brady being the guy who he is Michael Jordan being the guy he was for basketball?
He's just not going to go well as an owner?
Nah. Or minority owner. Going to make a lot of emotional decisions, you know, going to be a little hothead in some areas. Not going to be really comfortable doing some things, you know. Oh, wait a minute! I'm the GOAT. You know, my decisions. You know, people are trying to tell him.
Definitely don't want him to be heavy-handed. You just want him to lend some gravitas to the whole situation and help hire guys that can do a good job.
He'll be heavy-handed. He hired his buddy who he played football with, Spytek, right? Mm-hmm. The guy who was down in Tampa.
He's with him in Michigan.
He's going to hire people that are going to say, "Yes, Tom. Whatever, Tom. Yo, get him, Tom." You know. That's what he's going to do, and it's going to be Michael Jordan all over for basketball.
I like that take. Yeah. I like that take. We'll
see
how
I paid big bucks to do.
See how it plays out.
Take like that, yeah.
Well, the Stafford and Raiders connection started with reports yesterday with Jordan Schultz saying that Brady and Stafford had a face-to-face at a ski resort in Montana where Brady was trying to recruit him. And then Ian Rappaport came back and said, yeah, this was more of a coincidence situation, unplanned. They bumped into each other. Nothing official, nothing serious.
Okay.
So then Jordan Schultz is like, well, bleep you, dude.
Yeah,
I know what you're doing here.
You're gonna jump on my report? You think I'm a ball sacker? Okay, I'm serious about this. And he's a young, up-and-coming NFL insider.
He's
so
a young and up-and-coming ball sacker.
We got a little media beef going. And we talked about this yesterday at this time. And then we get done with the show, and then we see Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, have the story about during the afternoon yesterday at a local Indianapolis Starbucks. Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport get into a bit of a spat because Jordan Schultz was ticked off that Ian Rappaport is sort of trying to dunk
on his dog and his insider report.
Exactly.
And so you have a potential coincidence of Stafford and Brady being at the same ski resort.
Yes.
Schultz and Rappaport a little bit more believable because they're covering the combine, but still a lot of synergy happening here, boys.
Dawson, you know a lot about skiing in that part of the country, right?
Yeah.
Montana, a ski place that you're going to go?
Absolutely.
Montana's got the ski places?
Oh, yeah.
I thought Idaho was the ski places.
Montana has better than Idaho.
Does it really?
Yeah, Montana's mountains are high.
At this point.
Great snow. Great
terrain. I was thinking. I was calling out. I was calling because I would never think about going to Montana to ski.
That's because you've never been there before.
We got to recalibrate
Colorado, New Mexico, Utah, a lot of places to ski in this country. I don't know if Montana. Maybe I should look into that.
Idaho, not the worst, but Montana's definitely way up there. And here's where I thought you were going to ask me about skiing. There's no way you're going to accidentally recognize anybody. Everybody's got to wear a helmet now and goggles.
Face mask.
I just I would just think there's other places to ski than Montana.
These are big money dogs, dude. I mean, this is probably the elite level type of skiing resort that general population's not even really
Aspen,
privy to.
Aspen, Vail.
It might not be like the Utah, Colorado, like super celebrity spots, but it's great.
Boom.
Yeah.
Maybe there's less foot traffic, so you're Brady, you're Stafford, you feel like you can kind of hide in plain sight a little bit. You go to Aspen, you go to one of these other places, all of a sudden there's an influx of, let me get a picture. Oh, is that Tom Brady? You start hearing the people doing the goat stuff at me. I don't like that.
Quite the coincidence.
So they're at Starbucks. Schultz sees Ian Rappaport and reportedly walks up to him and says, "We need to talk." Hit him with one of those. Now, remember the size difference, too.
I was about to say.
Schultz is a pretty big guy.
Schultz as opposed to Rappaport.
Yeah.
Small dude.
Small dude.
So Rappaport replied, allegedly, "We don't need to talk." And then Schultz made accusations about Rappaport. Rappaport regards the accusations as unfounded. The two men were essentially face-to-face. And the quote from Schultz
were they really face-to-face?
Well, they were.
Well,
they
it was like
forehead to chest.
Waist to face.
Yeah, chest to
belt
face.
Belt buckle to nose.
Schultz tells Rappaport, "If you have anything to say to me, say it to my bleeping face. If this continues, we're going to have a bleeping problem." Now, Schultz denies the fact that he used any profanity. But Rappaport then asks Schultz to step back. And then Schultz says, "If this happens again, we're going to have a bleeping problem. Now I'll step back." And so you have all these other reporters and people in Indianapolis that are witnessing this. So then Florio gets the scoop on it. The funniest part and the most random part of it all is that apparently Rappaport was on Schultz's turf at Starbucks.
Really?
Because Schultz is the son of former Starbucks CEO Howard Schultz.
Former Sonics owner, too. I think he's the guy that sold it to Clay. Took him to OKC.
So it was like Schultz felt like, "Hey, you're in my house. You're in my territory. Don't you step up in here and try to be the alpha. All right? Yeah. I'm the big dog here.
Try to back me down.
Don't you dunk on my reports ever
again. My daddy literally owns this building. Or franchised it out for an 8% fee annually.
It's kind of a fun little sub story in Indy right now. Ian Rappaport ends up walking by the Pat McAfee broadcast live at Lucas Oil Stadium earlier today, and they were like, yo, get over here. We got to talk to you for a second. Here was Ian Rappaport with Pat McAfee and company just laying it out.
So last night when it all broke, everyone in the world texted me wanting to know details, and it was all out there. Florio basically wrote the whole thing, so there's not much to add.
Wow.
And then woke up this morning, and everyone in the world has texted me.
Yeah. Well, we all are happy that you're both okay. We'd like to let that be known.
Yeah.
With that being said, what is next? Are you guys going to shake hands before you get out of town, or what do we think?
I mean, I...
Oh, that's a new one to see him anymore. No. Hard pass on the handshake.
He's going to the coffee bean and tea leaf from now on.
Yeah, absolutely. Not another penny.
There's actually a lot of great coffee brands at Dunkin'.
So he tried to dunk on Starbucks with that one there. Thank you, Ian Rappaport. Thank you, Pat McAfee. Also saw from Benjamin Albright today, he says he would not be surprised to see a trade in the top five of this draft to get to number one, a large trade. He says a giant one, a titanic one.
Oh, a titanic trade.
If you will. So he's connecting the Giants and the Titans, thinking maybe the Giants trade up to number one.
Why not? Their
guy.
Why not?
Stafford's going to go to the Raiders. We know the Giants like Stafford, but if he ends up with Vegas, then all of a sudden the Giants are thinking, man, we cannot sit here and miss on the quarterback that we
Why
want
not?
The most. Let's trade
Cam
up
Ward.
To number one and go get Cam
it's
Ward.
It's somebody else's problem if we all get blown out at the Giants next year.
That's true.
I am doing everything to make John Merrill look at me and go, okay, I see what you're doing here. You know, he's trying. Joe trying to save his job. I would do everything, anything I could to make sure I get that quarterback. And if he has to go to one and give up a bunch of assets to do it, that's somebody else's problem if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, yeah, that's 100%. I could see that being the case. I think the Titans would probably be wrong for punting on the opportunity at Cam Ward, but whatever. I could see the Giants totally wanting to do that. The other thing I saw today was that the Patriots not planning on pursuing T. Higgins in free agency. The most prized free agent wide receiver out there, going to get some big money from somebody. Maybe it remains with the Bengals. The Patriots have a ton of cap space. They need playmakers, but they're looking at just building out the trenches. Mike Vrabel. It's interesting to hear a team basically just like say, like, yeah, we're really not interested in a particular player in free agency. But it looks like the Patriots are going to be focused more on the trenches. Mike Vrabel, Mr. Tough Guy, certainly understand that. And then finally, we close it down here with Jim Harbaugh ranking dead last in the NFLPA report card when it comes to efficient use of their time.
It's a little surprising.
And there was a story from Mason Graham, who's going to be a top 5, 10 pick probably in the draft, defensive tackle out of Michigan. He obviously played for Harbaugh for many years, and he says he gets a little quirky after he talks for a while. He just starts reading some Shakespeare stuff for like 20 minutes in front of the entire team, just rambling on. He memorized the whole St. Crispin's speech, just kind of rambled on for almost 20 minutes. It was a little weird, but it's cool that he does that type of stuff. He's a different coach, but I like him a lot. So that's his perspective. It's but weird, the players but on the cool, Chargers are weird. Like, you're just wasting our time.
Yeah. So it's not like it hasn't gone toxic yet. They're like, wow, coach is just being weird and he's doing Shakespeare now, but it's okay. I suppose. I mean, when you say inefficient use of my time, I might get really jammed up, but it seems like they got a good sense of humor because he's being
college.
Genuine.
That was a college story, so I don't know. I don't know what the Chargers players are feeling.
The Chargers players ranked him basically dead balls last when it comes to efficient use of their time. So the Chargers players are kind of like, hey, this is a little too much.
Better wrap it up, B.
The Michigan Wolverine prospect, he's obviously not going to smear anybody right now as he's trying to get picked, you know?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chief. In addition to the finest in the books, we'll hear from the Cowboys head coach from the Combine. Are you getting the feeling the Cowboys might have actually got this one right? It's next here, and then LA Live at 5:40. And then
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nation. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation. We are live in Surprise, Arizona. One more show tomorrow, and looking forward to a Friday finale, but we still have over an hour and a half of content coming to you, including going commercial-free to the top right now, the Expressway, every night at this time, brought to you by the on-time experts. Lucius Alexander's LA Live coming up in 15 minutes. We have some audio from the Combine where Brian Schottenheimer spoke with reporters, and 4 or 5 highlights here to get to in just a second. A couple of football headlines. Number one, Cowboys and Osa reportedly close. Mike Fisher kicked off the morning today with that report, and I think it's going to get done pretty soon. That's what everybody's feeling. Sean Sharif joined us last hour, put it at 98 or 99%, considering what's going on at the Combine right now. I just think right now this is a good step in the right direction. We don't know, and we won't know for a couple of weeks, are they trying to make a contender or are they just trying to make a relevant team? And they might look at it like we have to invest to have a chance of making the playoffs when we're in December, so all of our regular season games have this drama and urgency to them. We can't go through another year where half the season is like, well, you're not going to be a playoff team, so should you tank? So are they playing defense against that, or are they trying to build a team without weaknesses, which is really what you need to compete for the ultimate prize? And then Myles Garrett says not open to a Browns extension at all, so they might, you know, I'm sure he and his agent and the team and everybody, you know, they want to try to get something done here before the draft or before free agency, but this thing might drag out into the summer.
Doesn't sound good from the Browns. I mean, the Browns are pretty, we're not moving you. And Myles Garrett's like, well, I don't want to be here. So I don't know what's going to end up happening. Maybe they play it out and he leaves in free agency. But if I'm Cleveland, I'm moving him.
Yeah, I think that the salary cap implications are that of a trade making more sense, at least on the Brown side of things, as a post-June 1 type trade. So I think that's something that could happen. If you're the Browns, you obviously want to drive up the bargain. You want to hold that, have diamond hands on Myles Garrett. But I think Myles Garrett is a guy that we've talked about for many years now, like waiting for that moment for him to say, you know what, I want to be out of here. I'm so much better than this. I'm the best defensive player in the league, and you guys are basically the worst organization in the league. And he's never done it. And now he finally has. I think he's gonna draw really, really strong on this particular one. And I don't think he will play for the Browns this year.
So, I mean, the Cowboys have to look at it right now, planning on, while it might take some time, eventually he's going to be in your division, Washington or Philadelphia, one of those two teams, and your offensive line not ready for that at all. Like, he is a guy that if you had a chance to beat those teams, he tips the balance of power squarely in their favor until you get a great solution at both your tackle spots, really. Neither one of those guys is going to be able to handle that dude one-on-one. Few players can. Cowboys are a long way from having one. Okay, let's jump into this audio. Cut number one here from Schottenheimer says Pete Carroll is the coach he models himself most after.
Pete's been incredibly impactful to me. And what do I mean by that? I mean the way he looks at the game, the way he wants people to let their own personalities shine and not kind of put people into a box, per se. I think that's one of his greatest strengths, even at his age. His energy, his juice, his passion. Again, it was a hard breakup. It really was. You know, I laugh about the let Russ cook thing. Pete and I truly just agreed to disagree. You know, we set franchise record for most points scored, and
we just kind of saw it going different directions. But a guy, the guy's a Hall of Fame coach. I mean, to do what he did at USC, to do what he did, you know, at Seattle, and, you know, what he'll do in Las Vegas. And very powerful for me because he was a guy that talked a lot about when he left, I think it was the Jets, New England, I can't remember, but he took a year off. He literally got a notebook out, and he wrote down everything that he believed in. And he challenged me on that from the first day I was there. He said, Shotty, he goes, in a lot of ways, you're a football savant. You've been around the game your whole life. There's things that you've learned along the way that you don't even know you've learned. But what do you really believe in? And I thought that was really, really cool. And he didn't have to do that. Yeah, amazing coach that I truly probably, of all the coaches, including my father, he's the guy I probably model myself the most after.
I don't know if you can get a bigger compliment than that. Guy with a dad who's a Hall of Fame coach, mm-hmm. and you know, you're tipping your cap to Pete Carroll that way. That's pretty impressive. Brian, I know you stepped out of the room to take a phone call, but he said, you know, one of the things he learned from Pete Carroll is he just let guys be guys.
That's what John Snyder told me. He says, one of the great things about Pete Carroll is that when, you know, we had a plan at Green Bay where we were kind of like character guys, we kind of didn't always take bad character guys. I'm trying to tell Pete Carroll, like, hey, I don't want to do this. And Pete's like, don't worry about it, John. I'll coach these guys. These guys respond to me. I have a track record doing this. And John's like, okay, well, if you want to. But that's like you're talking about, hey, just bring me guys. Let me coach guys. I can get along with people, and I could be fine.
Yeah, you know, and I think, number one, it opens to a bigger talent pool.
Yeah, absolutely. John was like, I don't want to do this, Pete. And he's like, no, trust me. We can do this. I've coached these types of players. Let me do this. And they had a lot of success together. They really did.
Okay, second cut here. This is Brian Schottenheimer speaking at the Combine today on what he wants at running back and offensive line. You have some Cooper Beebe chatter in here as well.
You want a guy that's got vision. You want a guy that has contact balance. The fronts that we're seeing, the fronts that we're facing, require guys to be able to make hidden yards. You know, whether there's a free safety in the hole or there's a linebacker or a defensive lineman coming off at the point of attack, you got to have a guy that's willing to run through arm tackles. I do believe that you have to have the ability to catch the ball coming out of the backfield. Why do I say that? If a team wants to commit to stopping the run, there's ways that they can try to do that. And we don't want that to take an elite runner or a position like that out of the game. So if a team's doing a nice job stopping the running game, you want to be able to get them involved, you know, throwing it to them. And that doesn't mean they have to play like a receiver, but they have to be able to run routes coming out of the backfield and have the ability to separate and run after the catch is important. Offensive lines, it's different. You know, it's based on whether you're talking about the interior guys. Centers, guards are a little bit different. Tackles are a little bit different. But the thing that I'm interested in watching is the development of a couple of the second-year players. You know, you watch Cooper Beebe, Tyler Guyton, those guys. Tyler Guyton's been in the weight room every day. He's working his ass off. And to me, that's really exciting. But I think the influence of Clayton, the influence of Connor Riley, I think that package was so important for us, and I think we hit a home run.
Okay, let's start with the running back part of that. Vision, contact, balance, catching the ball, important. Does that rule in or out any of the players in the draft?
Definitely rules in Genty.
Yeah,
contact balance is all Ashton Genty.
I'll tell you what, another guy you need to keep an eye on, and I think they really like this kid because he is a former wide receiver, is Breshard Smith from SMU. That he is a guy who was at Miami, was a mm-hmm. wide receiver, came to SMU. Highly successful. You see him throwing routes to him. You see him out of the backfield. You see him lining up wide. This guy is a weapon at 5'10", 196 pounds. So if you don't, there are plenty of running backs that fit that mold of what he's kind of looking for right there. I think that he kind of gave you a little insight that if he's talking about second-year guys, they might not be looking at offensive linemen. They might not be like, okay, the last couple of years we've committed to drafting. We drafted two offensive linemen last year in the first round and the third round. He told you about Tyler Guyton. He's saying Tyler Guyton's in the weight room. I don't think the strength was the problem with Guyton. I think the problem with Guyton is some of the stuff with the mental things and learning and wanting to be a pro. I think that was more of a thing. You could find a way to work around some of the penalties he had, but like I think that to me that you got to be committed and hey, maybe being in the weight room every day is a good sign, but there's things that other things that he has to do. But I don't see them now the way he said that and focusing on guys that are currently there. I don't see them taking an offensive lineman in the first three picks.
They also asked him about moving BB back to guard, and he said, quote, "We'll see. We're always going to play the best five. It'd be hard to move that guy that got experience playing center
there
this year at a
there
high level.
Go.
But yep. Anything is on the table in playing the best five." So it sounds like they probably would prefer to keep Cooper BB at center where he was last year.
I still wonder if the Will Hernandez stuff, the Cardinals guy, off his best year as a free agent, maybe that would be a guy they'd be willing
just
to bring in.
Just a colossal bust with the Giants. But then he goes
no, Clayton Adams got
Clayton Adams gets a hold of him. And that's your hope now, that these coaches can take what we've talked about, maybe lesser talent, and make them into a workable five that can get the job done.
How's Dowdle catching it? We know Genty and Hampton are good at catching it. Who are the other candidates to be the Cowboys running back in 2025?
I mean, I think Caleb Johnson fills all that as well. I mean, there's plenty of
Henderson.
Backs.
Scattaboo.
Yeah, Travion Henderson, absolutely. I mean, that dude is a really good receiving back and has a lot of speed.
Okay.
Junkins as well from Ohio State is another one. But I and Blue from Texas.
Jaden Blue's a really good receiving back.
He's a really good receiving back. The fumbles have been a little bit of an issue that they'll talk about. But I'd keep an eye on Smith from SMU. I mean, that seems like to me he's fitting exactly what Shoddy's talking about.
It's so interesting to listen to these guys, especially in this environment at the Combine with free agency coming up, as they're just sort of, you know, answering whatever questions are thrown at them. And you couldn't help in this situation but have the things that you've been discussing with your team be top of mind. So I think all of this is relevant, especially what you noted about, you know, with running back, they're talking about specific traits that they're looking for, they're shopping for. Asked about offensive line, he's telling you specifically about his guys. I think that's very notable that, you know, maybe we're not looking at adding.
They don't have the runner.
Giving these guys a chance to develop an offensive line before we move on. And I don't think that's the worst mistake in the world. It'd be too risky if I was running the team. But how about we go to the next cut on thoughts on adding in free agency? Here's Coach.
Well, I think, again, that's a tough question. You know, David, I can't answer that. It depends on what players you're talking about. Like I said, we're always going to start with our guys. We know them, right? We've got history with them. We've developed those guys. We understand their strengths, their weaknesses, what they bring to the table from a culture standpoint. So, again, it all depends on how things go. It's a very competitive business. It's a very competitive time of year. There's incredible dialogue going on all day, every day here in Indianapolis. I've learned that. And so I think that's the exciting part about this time of year is you really are competing with these other teams that want to come in and acquire your players. And we're going to make it very tough to let those guys leave.
Well, I think that's cool. But I think one of the things that made Belichick great, maybe other coaches this applies to as well, but I can look at your roster and see somebody that can help me more than he's helping you. That's what the Eagles did with Bond. I think they got him for $4 million. He's one of the most impactful players of the year from a pass rushing perspective. The Cowboys, I think, lack that ability to look at other teams' rosters for the most part and be like, oh, we're going to get him for this price and he's going to help us more than this other guy. They would never give $21 million to a defensive tackle unless they had drafted that guy. And I think that really limits them at this time of year going into free agency and you're trying to decide what's the best bang for our buck. For them, it's pay their own guys, sometimes overpay them, or find absolute bargain barrel players that, you know, hit and outperform their contract. But that's really their only two options, Brian. They can't look at stars on other teams and be confident that they're going to sign them and get the same production or more.
See, this is where I wonder about Matt Eberflus and this defensive staff now. Did they sit down and look at the Cowboys and then Will McClay and Stephen Jones? So, hey, listen, this is what Oso Digizua, you can see, you know, Milton Williams might be the better player, you know. But all of a sudden, Eberflus says, you know what, I like what you guys are talking about here with Oso Digizua.
Yeah.
Maybe if
maybe if say it was a different defensive coordinator, maybe if it was from the Eagles, you wouldn't have Oso Digizua
but
here.
But that quote was exactly something Steven would say.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's
we like
saying.
Our own guys. We like we know our own they guys. Work in our
see,
system.
See, he knows. Yeah. He knows. See, this is the advantage of Schottenheimer being in the organization the last several years. He knows how it operates.
Yeah.
Like any other coach would like, well, wait a minute. Why are we not looking at, if we're talking about three technique guys, why aren't we not looking at this guy? Or why are we not looking at this guy? Why do we are insistent about signing our own? See, okay. That's why these guys get these jobs.
Let's get a little bit more on Osa here. LA Live's coming up in 2 minutes. Schottenheimer, when asked for the latest on Osa Odighizuwa's contract situation.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of ongoing conversations. Obviously, Osa has done a terrific job for us. He's a terrific young player. He does everything right. And as those communications keep going, it's never done till it's done. But he'd be a guy we'd love to have back.
Okay, so that sounds like that's heading in the right direction. By the way, I looked up like his pass rush win rate. He's 12th in the NFL. $21 million a year would make it the 12th highest paid defensive tackle. So I don't think it's a horrible overpay for Osa. You know, I'm frustrated with their lack of options and how they limit themselves by not looking for impact players from other teams. And then he got a lot of love on social for this final cut here on how he put together the new coaching staff and what he has in mind.
You know, this is something that I've done for a long time, which means it's spend the off season, the summer. My wife gets mad at me, but tracking coaches. You know, I literally call guys in the business that I know and that I trust, and I'm like, hey, tell me somebody that maybe you think the world of, but that I've never heard of. And, you know, it's such a close-knit fraternity that guys are happy to share good people with good people. I think there's three guys maybe that I've worked with before that weren't carryover guys. You know, when you asked me initially how the staff was going to come together, did I think that would be the case? Probably not. But again, the guys that came in, I think we found great teachers. We found guys that were incredible people. And I have a real big belief in fundamentals. And so I think if you look at all the coaches that we've added, both young, old, the ability to train fundamentals in the developmental process of our players is critical.
Coach.
And one last thing, like, I know for a fact our players are going to feel the passion and energy of this staff. This staff is awesome, just in terms of the energy, the way they want to teach, the way they want to be on the grass. So I can't wait to see us get to work here in a couple months.
Man, in some ways, the hire could be a frustration like what Brian and I were just talking about. But in other ways, like, this organization needed that. A guy who's on the phone finding out who are the smartest coaches coming up in the ranks that I could build a staff out of. And finally, we got it.
Yeah, there's no question. I mean, I know exactly where he's coming from, because there was times where I did the same thing when it came to knowing who the young coaches were around the league. And I've had teams, guys I know, ask me, like, hey, I need a linebacker. I need a minority linebacker coach. Or I need this coach. Or I need that coach. And, you know, I always had names. I think you have to know who you're working against and who you potentially can go get to make your staff a lot better. I think just hiring your friends is a terrible way of making a coaching staff. I applaud him for what he did.
All right, it's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3. The Fan Expressway does go commercial-free to the top every time night at this time. We go to Lucius Alexander in the Pimp Cup in L.A. Live.
Where they at, though? Let's get into a Thirsty Thursday edition of L.A. Live right into the Great Rick Jerry.
Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything.
Come on.
Everybody get high.
Because y'all all judging, meaning people out there are judging off of hearsay, false allegations.
That's right. Don't be judging me off of hearsay, off of false allegations.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah. I hear her, man.
Drunken allegations.
You can. I can barely hear myself. It's getting kind of weird. What's
yeah, you dropped on? Down there a little bit.
Yeah, it got kind of strange.
Did I hit something?
You might have hit that one button.
How about now?
There you go.
Boom, baby.
Man, knows the board.
The devil thought he had me, but I got away.
It is a Thirsty Thursday, Ladies Night Vibes here at LA Live. Shout out to all the Tolo ladies. Shout out to you. Yes, yes, yes. I love being around the female energy. I do. A little bit more than I like being around the fellas. But I ain't gonna lie, sometimes y'all can talk too much. Boy, y'all can talk a lot. It just, I don't know how, it just keeps flowing and keeps flowing. Yeah. I was looking up at my girl the other night, I was like, damn. I didn't even get the response to the first thing you said before we get to the fifth.
That's why I never had a problem being in the friend zone, Lucius. Like, you could be not interested, but hell no, we're not going to be friends.
Oh my gosh. All right, anyway. Hey, it's getting real out here, people, whether you willing to admit it or not. Times are changing right in front of our face. My walkie-talkies came in the other day, and pretty good walkie-talkies. I think they're Rocky Talkies.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got some myself. I got some DeWalt's.
DeWalt's. Okay.
Yeah.
Listen, man, long as they do the job. I don't know the range. I haven't even used them. Haven't turned them on anything, but yeah, they definitely hit the door, and I was smiling about that. Also ordered me a few big old flashlights.
There you go. You prepping?
I'm paying attention. I'm paying attention out here, man. Yeah, I don't want to ring the alarm or whatnot, but what does every person need in their bug out bag, Mr. Dawson? And the fellas too, if y'all got any ideas. And on the Fantex, the TrekWreck.com Fantex, if you have any ideas, what does every person need in their bug out bag? This is not, a subject I was wanting to hit, but shoot.
Yeah. You know, I do think you're going to want some fishing line and some hooks.
Fishing line. Okay, I got the fishing poles and tackle box. That's good. Yeah, okay.
I mean, plus you could build a little perimeter around your camp, you know, with maybe a little impromptu alarm that might give you the half second to get the bead on an intruder who might be looking to invade and come for your supplies. I think a compass is big. Mm-hmm. An ability to start fire without, matches or whatever. Some waterproof matches as
okay,
well.
Okay, what am I going to need to start a fire without matches?
Flint rocks. Flint,
the old fire-making kit of some kind.
Like a Boy Scout?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, and then
a couple of flint sticks.
I have a big survival guide, but I think maybe a smaller, like, pocket-sized guide, like, what kind of roots should I be looking for to eat? What kind of berries should I eat? How do I, there's going to be a lot of knowledge you're going to want, right? And we're assuming you don't have the internet, so some sort of a little pocket guide for survival.
Man, this Fantex is awful. My man said Bacardi 151, condoms, lots of cannabis,
adult magazines.
That's what I'm talking about, bro.
Give me 3 milligram coffee flavored Zen for 500 bushes.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. Now, maybe some seeds. I think some cannabis seeds if you like that. You know, but we don't want anything that's going to take up a lot of space.
Bro, if you can get your hands on some cannabis seeds, you're doing something out here. You're doing something out here.
Now, hard to acquire these days.
Come on now. Now, somebody says something about a straw. There's a straw that you can. What is this called? I just seen it on the fan text. A life straw.
Oh yes, yeah. I got multiple of those, and I got a life straw pitcher as well that can do like 5 gallons.
Whoa!
A life straw is just like this tube that you would put over a pond, and now you can just drink out of the pond, it's going to kill everything on its way to
awesome.
You.
Yeah, you trust it?
I would. Okay. I would in that situation.
I'd be scared to drink out of a pond, bro. You ever put that under a microscope? Them little things be in there dancing? Bow, 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 yes. Bow, 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 bow. Like, I just drank some of that.
Maybe not a small pond.
Gotcha.
They look pretty murky and smelly.
You're right. You got to move around. So I have like a mask. I wrote mask down.
Like a gas mask?
Maybe if I can get one at the Army Navy store that is functional, but I just got like a mask just in case, gang of mask.
Something's airborne?
Yeah, something's airborne. Yeah. Or whatnot.
Okay.
It's hella dusty out there, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Extra batteries.
Poncho.
Okay. Poncho, I'm not mad at that. Toothbrush and toothpaste. Look at me. I pack toothbrush and toothpaste.
Yeah.
You never know. Moist towelettes and garbage bags. This is mine. It sounds like
dude wipes.
Yeah.
What are we?
Febreze.
Yeah, it doesn't sound too manly at
What's
all.
What's that new cologne you got?
Doesn't sound too survival-y to me.
My bidet. Yeah. What else you gonna pack, Lucius?
Now I am trying to get a new passport because mine is expired.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about a visa. I got my birth certificate on deck. Driver's license need to be
updated, it's inspired, and portable cell phone charger and backup battery. I don't know how to get a backup battery, but I wrote these things down while I was thinking about it.
I wondered if you could get one of those batteries that's solar. You know, like it charges, it's a solar battery, and you can use it when you need it, Lucius, but it charges like with the sun.
Got to get my, Lucius got to have cocoa butter. Yeah, I don't want to be out there ashy. You find
Lip
me
bomb.
Ashy.
Yeah. Chapstick. What else, Lucius? What else we got?
Find me nappy and ashy out there. Help me. You getting ready for a zombie apocalypse? It might be, bro. I don't know. Yeah, knives and everything. All right, all right.
Scissors.
Yeah. Weapons, yeah, clearly.
Keep sending that to the fan text, but yeah, man.
I got this solar deal. That it's kind of like an old trapper keeper where you open it up and it's got some solar panels and then it charges USB stuff off of that.
There you go. Yeah.
So maybe if your phone still works.
Okay, okay.
Get a charge off that.
Hold on, let me write that one down.
Keep you in the game.
Solar charger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, solar charger. Electric generator. What? What if the electric goes out? I don't know. All right, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook, which is really still sad. Every time I go to Facebook, it's really darn sad, man. Yeah. And you can follow us all on G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. You can find us all right there in the bios. Our winner right here is a church clip. Shout out to my Reverend Dr. Pastor Freddie Haynes.
Salute.
It's a church mother. She got up during announcements, and she says, don't be offended if somebody hands you a mint.
And again, I would like to say, now you all have to excuse me, but it's the truth.
Yeah.
If I'm talking to any of you all and my breath stinking, and we have some in here does.
Yeah.
I forgot to brush my teeth or my tongue. Please, if anybody walk up and give you a mint, don't feel embarrassed. Take it. Because they have a reason. So y'all, this is true. I'm not just up here just talking to me talking. I'm talking because I said the truth. And it's going around.
It's going around.
This thing is going around. And when it's in the streets and every place else, you know, this is my church.
Yeah.
I love my church. I was born and raised in this church like many of you. So I'm going to speak the truth whether you like it or not.
She said bad breath is going around. It's contagious, apparently, out there in these streets.
Spread's tough. Yeah. I bet she walked back into her knitting club and her sisters were just like, yeah, dude, you tore them up.
They knew exactly who she was talking about, too.
Yeah.
They was looking right over at the old funky mouth person in the third
just
row.
Just staring.
Yeah, just looking at her. All right, it's a ladies' night, 105.3 The Fan, LA Live. How many athletes have the Kardashian sisters dated? You guys know?
14.
There's three sisters?
It's a good guess. Shoot, 20. Man.
I'm definitely thinking double digits.
Yeah, man. How many sisters is 1, 2, 3, 4? It's like four, like now, right?
Okay. I was going four each.
Well, it's technically five 25. If you count the Jenner. Yeah. The Jenner.
Count the mom.
Yeah, yeah, count them. Count them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's five of them.
Man.
30.
Yeah, I'll go 22.
26 each.
I don't know. I'm just asking you guys. I didn't have an answer.
Kim might be in double digits by herself.
The craziest stat, though, I think, on the Kardashian girls is that only one of them has multiple baby daddies.
Is that the older one?
Yes.
Yeah. 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 I used to like that one the most. I really did.
Oh, Courtney? Is that Courtney?
Yeah. I liked her the most. I asked this question because most people will say that it's their mother. It's your mama. Kris Jenner that put those girls where they're supposed to be, gave them the proper motivation to go out there and get it by any means. Because, you know, Kris Jenner allegedly brokered that deal for Kim's tape with Ray J.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's pretty wild stuff right there. Mama's.
So what kind of advice does she give? Like, date athletes, they have better genes and big checking accounts? Or?
Well, here's Khloe Kardashian, alleged OJ's daughter. Tell the story. Huh? Go ahead,
bro. But she's got business sense, right? Isn't she the one that has business sense? Khloe?
You know, I don't know who has. I think they all have the great business sense because they're all under Kris Jenner's umbrella.
Okay.
Well, she's out here. She's a certified bag chasing hustler.
Yeah, but Khloe's got perfumes and clothing lines and stuff.
Kim's got her stuff.
They're independently.
Kylie's got a billionaire. Okay. They've all got their crap.
Yeah. Got the Skims. Yeah, here's Khloe Kardashian telling a story about a random story about some advice that her mother, Kris Jenner, gave her. Listen to the show.
He was a basketball player, played for
such a pusher.
One of the LA teams. And we were, us three were in the kitchen, and we were like talking together. And I was like, oh, my mom was not involved in the conversation, but her office was off to like off to the kitchen. And I was like, so-and-so isn't calling me back, yada, yada. And we're just chatting. And she's like, what are you guys talking about, girls? And we're like, oh, just this guy won't call me back. She's like, well, how many dates did you go on? I'm like, well, just like one or two.
Yeah.
And she's like, well, did you give him a beep?
Oh. And I go, we were like, what?
And she goes, did you give him a beep? I go, I went on like one or two dates with him. No. And she goes, well, that's why he's not calling you back.
No.
And she just turned around and I'm like,
went back to her office.
What?
I remember looking at you like,
and I was mortified.
God, she's the goat.
She's the goat.
She's the goat.
That's
mom with that advice.
Wow. Yeah. I would expect ridiculous. Like racy aunt or something, you know?
Exactly.
Mom. That's straight out of Landman, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty wild stuff, bro. That's wild because Kris Jenner was friends with Nicole Brown Simpson, right?
I get confused. I can't keep him track.
Yeah.
I think she was. I think she was through, yes.
Yeah,
through
she was
Kardashians,
good friends.
Yeah.
Really
with
good.
Robert and all that, yeah.
And Nicole Brown Simpson is famous in Brentwood for giving out things, something called the Brentwood.
Mm. Oh.
Maybe she learned it from Nicole.
Mm.
Yeah, the Brent. Listen, like, you just got to be fire if you get a whole name for it. Oh, yeah, the girl that does the Brentwood.
No.
It's got to be fire.
Yeah, talk at the country club.
We're at 18 athletes just for the three Kardashians.
See, that's what I'm talking about,
just
dog.
For those three, not including the Jenners.
That's six what I'm each. Talking about right there. Mama's a hustler, man. She said, you got to go get it.
And those are just the ones we've heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out to Miles Austin. Where he at?
He was coaching for a little bit. I don't know what he's doing now.
Is he coaching with Witten? I could see that.
Shout out to his orthodontist as well, too. I know it's a tough job.
A lot of real estate.
Summer teeth.
Silver caps in the back. Somebody's got to do it. 105.3 The Fan on a ladies' night. My man Big X the Plug, who I met in Vegas at the Spence fight, walked up to him. I said, this is my only win tonight, bro, meeting you. Pause. I had to say pause, too, just to make sure you never can't be too safe. He was arrested on marijuana charges in Texas, in Arlington, Texas, in fact. He has been charged with possession of less than 2 ounces.
Uh-oh.
Dang.
Yeah. Arlington PD said X was driving with his expired tags. He's got dope in the car with expired tags. Got pulled over by the cops. His passenger was a relative, was also arrested because this man had warrants. So we're in a car with expired tags and warrants and weed. Oh, and also there was a gun in the door.
Yeah.
Right there on the side of the door.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah. I'm not sure if he's out yet, but the story said he was being held without bond last time I checked.
No. What? For weed? This is so 2003. What's going on here?
It's probably because there's weed and a gun.
Yeah.
Okay. You got to get somebody to cop for something here.
Okay.
How much is his bail? We know.
Right. Well, there was no bail. Held without bond, right?
Oh,
no bail.
Without bond. Oh, okay. Geez. I didn't know. Okay.
Like, damn, they got this man locked up, man.
Yeah.
So shout out to Big X the Plug.
Yeah.
Free that man.
Indeed.
We need him. Hold on. Yeah, shout out to Big X, man. We need you, bro. But Arlington PD do not play. Truckwreck.com fan text. What other police departments in the DFW that do not play?
Ruben says Grand Prairie.
Grand Prairie does not play. That's number one on my list. I also have Irving, Pantego, Garland, and Kennedale. They do not play. You mess up just a little bit, there'll be 30 cop cars showing up to your residence. Do not play right there on the street while you're sitting there. You get pulled over by one cop, and all of a sudden you look in your rearview mirror. There's three more cars behind you. Do not play in these jurisdictions.
Give me Northlake.
Where's that at?
That's going to be in sort of the Justin area, Speedway-ish.
Just above South Lake.
And how do you know that, sir?
Yeah, just above.
Rand McNally we work with here.
They're just all over the place. Like you can't, they're posted up everywhere. Speed traps galore.
When I first moved to Sunnyvale, I could go like 50, 60 down the back roads. Now, as soon as I leave my driveway, I assume I'm being observed. You know, I'm speed limit man everywhere I go.
Somebody say Euless PD. Yeah, Euless PD does not play. Rockwall. Rockwall is not a joke, bro. Carrollton, bro. Okay, I believe you.
Trophy Club, dude. Trophy Club is probably like the one seed for me.
Texted in now.
Yeah, I love it, though, man. You got to know.
Richardson, Plano, Highland Park, Carrollton, Roanoke. I always thought Allen had a big force.
I don't go out there much to know, man. Frisco,
yeah,
Little.
I try to stay away now.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you, my G. Yeah, I'm just, you know, just trying to alert the Tolos out there. McKinney PD does not play. Okay. All right. Slow. North Lake, for sure, they always have people pulled over on 35. Look, there you go, Eric. All right, my name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise on a Friday. I holla. Plano was awful, too. Oh!
There he goes. L.A. Live with Lucius Alexander every night, about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. We're live in Surprise. Salute to our sponsors, ASCO Equipment, your heavy equipment partner since 1960, and the on-time experts, air conditioning and plumbing, same-day service guaranteed. Let's talk some baseball, Wolchuk.
Do the Rangers have a top 10 designated hitter? That's next.